Going through the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, we've come to verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we're going to talk about what that righteousness is, by the way. Because we're not talking about being better than someone else or doing things more right than others. There is a righteousness that is in the mind of Christ that we'll see very clearly. But before we go into that, I'd like to read the next few verses so that we can read this in its context. I'm going to read that, the first verse again, Matthew 5:10, and then I'm going to read verses 11 and 12 as well. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Isn't that strange? Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Why would they do that? And why are they persecuting you and reviling you in the first place if you're doing what's right? The question you'd have to be is, ask yourself is, why would men react that way to something that's right and good? Why did men hate Jesus? Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verses 18 to 27. Here's what Jesus said. If the world hates you, know this, it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, isn't that interesting? You're supposed to be a distinction between the Christian and those in the world. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember that word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Then Jesus said this, he who hates me hates my Father also. Do you see what he's saying here? He's talking about authenticity and authority. You know what an author is? An author is the person from which a writing has originated. Jesus was the most authentic voice to man that had ever entered the world, because he only spoke words that his Father gave him to say. Every word he spoke was what his Father had given him to say. So can you understand why he said, those who hate me, they're hating my Father. I'm just doing what my Father has commanded me to do. And if you do what I ask you to do, and they hate me, they're going to hate you. And he goes on to say, if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Now why would he say they hated me without a cause? Because everything he did was only following the instructions of his Father. He didn't have his own choice. He didn't make his own decisions. He didn't choose his own path. He simply received the directions from his Father. He did what his Father directed him to do. He said what his Father directed him to say. Therefore, he's very neutral. He's a lowly man, not speaking his own opinions, not telling the world what he thought. He spoke only what he was given, and he did only what he was shown. Therefore, all the hatred that the world gave towards him was really hatred towards the instruction and the message from God his Father. Do you see that? Now, why did men then, and why do men now hate Jesus? Why do they hate him? What is it about him that they hate? It's a good answer. Here's what Jesus said one time in John chapter 7. His own natural brothers, half-brothers that is, were telling him, listen, if you want to become a public figure, go make yourself known. You know, no one who wants to be a public figure keeps himself hidden. Why don't you go up to the feast and just let everybody know who you are? And you remember what Jesus said to them? Jesus said to them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because. And then he gave the because. And here's the because. The world hates me because I testify of it that its deeds are evil. Now, when Jesus says he bore witness, you know what a witness is, right? What's a witness? A witness is a person who tells what he has seen, or he repeats what he has heard. All Jesus was doing was telling men what the opinion of God his Father. If God said something is evil, Jesus witnessed, my Father says this is evil. If he saw something wrong and his Father said this is wrong, Jesus said this is wrong. Therefore, they hated him for merely being a faithful witness. It's not his own opinion. It's not his own judgment. See what it really is that the world hates the testimony of Jesus. And the word hate really doesn't mean despise. It really has more the idea of depreciate it, devalue it. They do not esteem it. That's the idea. They can brush it off. They give it no value. They disagree. They disagree with what Jesus said. And of course, everything Jesus said is what his Father said. So they're disagreeing with both Jesus and the Father. He's only repeating what his Father said. So here's for us. Back to blessed are you. Blessed are all those who are persecuted for righteousness. You know what it's always a right thing to do? It's always a right thing to say what God says. It's always a right thing to do what God does. It's never wrong. But you know, if you do what God says to do, and if you repeat what God says to say, it's going to cause you problems from the world. Because it's the message they disagree with, right? They disagree with the message. It's not the messenger is involved, but if he gave a popular message or what they wanted to hear, he would be loved, wouldn't he? I mean, men are loved if they say what men want to hear. So here is Jesus, and we, if we follow him, we're going to be persecuted if they disagree with what Jesus has given us to say. Because it's the message. It's the message they hate. You know, he said that in the same chapter, John chapter 3, the same chapter that we know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In the very same chapter, a few verses later, Jesus said this. This is the verdict. The verdict of the court case that the world is going to be tried in someday has already been rendered. We know the verdict ahead of time. Here's the verdict. Light has come, but men love darkness more than they love the light, because their deeds were evil. Anyone who is practicing evil hates the light, and he will not come into the light because he knows that his deeds are going to be exposed. Everyone who does what is right or does the truth, they come into the light, so that it may be seen that the things that they've done, God gave them to do. So when we are coming to the light, which is thy word is a light, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, when we're living by the light of God's word, we're just being faithful to Jesus, who is faithful to his Father. So the Father is telling Jesus what to do and say. Jesus is telling us through the Holy Spirit what to do and say. All of us are in agreement. It's not even our own opinion. I'm not doing what I think is right. I'm doing what God thinks is right. Do you see the difference? Who am I? I'm just an echo. You know what an echo is, right? An echo is the sound after someone else has said something. Hello, 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 hello. Are you out there? Are you out there? Yeah, yeah. You're out there. Do you get mad at the echo? This is the idea of what Jesus is saying. Nothing is more right than to hear what God has said, accept it, and repeat it. Nothing is more right than to understand what God would have us do, to do it. That's just right. And why do we do this? We do this by faith. We're just simply doing it by faith. That's all it is. We repeat the truth. We're the echo. And this is why it says, for this is the way the prophets were treated. See, the prophets were treated that way because before Jesus Christ, they were other men who heard the words of God and would speak them to the people and yet got them in trouble. They were only passing on the message that they had received. So people who rejected the message, of course, they reject the prophets. It's that simple. So if you and I, if we are reviled and persecuted for being faithful to the message, same thing that happened to the prophets, right? Do you think Isaiah is... I know Rudy loves Isaiah. Do y'all like reading the prophets? They were special men, weren't they? Well, if you believe what the prophets believed, you realize something? Then all the people that hated them would disagree with you. But that puts you in a pretty special place. Because the prophets were these special men. When we suffer this way, our reward in heaven will be great. You know why? Why did Jesus say our reward in heaven will be great? Well, first of all, don't expect men to pat you on the back for telling them they're doing wrong. Okay? Don't expect to be the most popular in your neighborhood if you're faithful to the words of Jesus Christ. Okay? Don't expect that. But why is it going to be your reward in heaven? Because in heaven, when you stand before God, He has watched you seek His approval above everyone else's for all you've said and done. He has seen that you're willing to bear the scorn of men because you agree and believe Him. For that, we're going to be rewarded. He's not going to reward us for being loud-mouthed. He's not going to reward us for being aggressive and pointing our finger in everyone's faces and saying they're wrong. But you know what He is going to reward us for? Don't change the message. If Jesus said it, just repeat what He said. If God said it, simply repeat what God said. Be a faithful messenger. Stand for the truth. And if that brings you difficulty from the others around you, you're blessed. You're blessed. Because what it shows your respect and love for God the Father. That's what it shows. And that's why your reward is going to be great. Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 12. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess Him openly, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Ouch. You know, if you love the praise of men more than you love the praise of God, you know what you're going to say? You're going to say what sounds good to men. Because you're more concerned about those men who know you and can see you than the God that they can't see. So Jesus said this. After He said that to these men, He cries out, "He who believes in Me believes not in Me, but Him who sent Me. And he who sees Me sees Him who sent Me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in Me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. Have you ever realized that Jesus said that? If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. You see how humble Jesus was? He's just repeating what his Father has said. He wasn't sent to judge the world at this time. He's simply sent to be a light to the world and to tell the world what the Father gave him to say. And if men disagree with it, he's not going to judge them. But listen to what he goes on to say. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. Now he who rejects me and does not receive my words, there is a judge that judges him. Whoa, wait, there is a judge. Let's see what Jesus said it is. The word that I have spoken will judge him at the last day. Because Jesus only spoke what the Father gave him to say. So you know what men are going to be judged for? All men who will not receive the words of God the Father spoken by Jesus Christ will stand before God the Father. And you know what they're going to hear? Why didn't you believe what I told my son to say? Why did you disagree with what I told my son to say? And can I make something very clear? None of us here better make the mistake of separating the words from Jesus from the death on the cross. You don't accept every word he said. You can't have his death on the cross. I'm going to say that again. You don't accept every word he says. You can't have his death on the cross. The reason he was chosen the sacrifice is because he said every word his Father gave him to say. He did everything his Father gave him to do. That's why he was without sin and the only thing in the universe without sin able to make atonement for mankind. And you don't disagree with the teaching of Jesus Christ and call him Lord and Savior. Remember Jesus himself turned to crowds? You remember that? He turned to a large crowd following to him. Let's just pretend we are that crowd. You're the crowd. You're following Jesus, right? He turns to you and he says, why do you call me Lord and do not do the things that I say? You can't believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. You cannot believe that Jesus Christ was the perfect spokesman of the Father and disagree with anything he says. That's a contradiction. That's going to be revealed in the day of judgment for what it is. Resistance, rebellion. Jesus goes on to say this. He who rejects me and does not receive my words, the word I have spoken will judge him at the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority. But the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father hath told me, so I speak. See, that's the righteousness of faith. Faith cometh by hearing. I hear what Jesus says, I believe. That's righteousness. You see? It's right to believe what Jesus says because he only says what the Father tells him. And you know what's wrongness? It's wrong to disagree with the Lord Jesus. He was chosen by God to be the message to mankind to straighten out man's ignorant ideas about God. And we don't do well to disagree with the one that God appointed to be his spokesman. That's unbelief. And unbelief is sin. Our righteousness is not about being better than anyone else. You know what it's about? It's about all of us here saying, yes, Father, you chose your son. You gave him his words. You gave him the authority. And we agree. We thank you for that. We receive this in mercy. We accept what he's done for us. We accept who you appointed him to be. And we are his followers. Unashamedly. That's righteousness. That's what righteousness is. It's the fact that we have turned from our own ways. We have said we don't trust ourselves. Our own opinions, we will submit to what you have told your son to say. Our own actions, we will submit to the authority you have given your son. That's righteousness. It's the righteousness of faith. It's not because we're better than anybody else. It is because by faith we agree that God has given all authority in heaven and earth to His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's righteousness. This is the righteousness of faith. It's just like Abraham, isn't it? Abraham heard God. He believed what God said. And God credited it to him as righteousness. So that's what we must do. We hear what God says through Jesus Christ. We believe and we obey. This is righteousness before God. And like I said before, unbelief is sin. Here's how Paul put this in Romans chapter 10. But the righteousness of faith says this. Don't say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, or that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? Well, here's what it says. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith, which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. You know what a lot of us are willing to confess? Jesus died on the cross for me. But what happens when we confess Jesus Christ is Lord? That means He is our
King.
He's our King. He is our authority. And if He has been given authority from God the Father, then when He gives us an instruction and we say He is Lord, our answer to Him is, yes, Lord. It's interesting. If you believe in your heart Jesus Christ, you confess Him as Lord, and you believe in your heart that God has raised from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then Paul finishes up with this statement, for whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. Wow, blessed are those who are persecuted for believing in Him. And let me finish by clearing up a common misperception. When Jesus said, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely because of me. Okay, let me make sure we understand what we mean by that. We're not blessed if someone says a lie about us. That's not what He's talking about. That hurts. I mean, people can have their whole reputation and their career ruined by lies spoken about them. We're not just talking about that. But what does He mean by saying, blessed are you when men shall revile you and say all manner of things falsely against you because of me? Here's what I believe He meant by that. Here is a common thing falsely said about a person being faithful to Christ. You are judging me. How many of you heard that? You've been told that before? You're judging me.
Okay.
Is that true? Am I judging? Is it my judgment at all? If God the Father spoke the word to Jesus the Son, and Jesus the Son spoke the word to His apostles, and His apostles wrote it down, and they've given it to me, and I read it, and I repeat it. Is it my judgment? Is it my idea? Is it my opinion? No. I'm nobody. I'm just a private first class. The general has given simply, he sent me this letter, and here's what the general wrote in it. I'm nobody. But do you realize being nobody, that gives all the authenticity and the authority to God?
Amen.
We don't have to be anybody. And so when you're telling people what God has said, you're not judging anybody. It's not your judgment. You're simply being a messenger who's repeated a message. That's all. You know who's making the judgments? The people who say, I disagree, that's a judgment. They're judging the message itself. You see who's making the judgment? And you know who they're judging as wrong? If God says adultery is a sin and someone disagrees and believes they have a right to do it, who are they calling wrong? You? It's not, you didn't originate the idea. They're saying God is wrong. You see what authority we have? We don't have to be anybody. We don't have to be anyone's faith. In anyone's face, we don't have to be aggressive. We don't have to be rude. All we're required to be is faithful. Just faithful. Speak the truth in love. We speak the truth in love. This is what it means by... the question you might be asked. We can pick on any... You can pick on any sin. I'm not here to pick on sin. Here's what I will say. If God calls it sin, who am I? Who am I to disagree? Are you asking me for opinion? Is it safe for me to give an opinion on what God says? You tell me. You want to know what I think? What does it matter what I think? I didn't create the universe. I would think the person who had the power to create the universe has authority to speak his mind on whatever he believes. My opinion is nothing. His opinion is everything.
Amen.
I just believe, but because I believe that, if someone asked me, well, do you think fornication is wrong? Sex outside of marriage, do you think it's wrong? You think if two people just choose to have sex outside of marriage, it's wrong? God said it was wrong. But what do you think? I think God knows what he's talking about. I don't think it's so safe to disagree with God. You know we're going to have to answer to him, won't you?
Amen.
See, I do believe that I'm going to stand before him. His word says that I'm going to stand before him. And on the day I stand before him, I don't want any instances called to the count where I chose my own opinion over what he said. I just don't. And if it comes, if this person disagrees with me, he may not think very highly of me, but does that person have the power to determine where I'm going to spend my eternity? Who do you want to be right in the eyes of? Whose approval do you want? You see? Blessed are you. Blessed are you if for being faithful to Jesus Christ, to not give your own opinion, to not have your own judgment. Blessed are you if you simply repeat what Jesus has said. Blessed are you if you're persecuted for that reason. Blessed are you if you're one of those people who the world thinks is narrow-minded and divisive and bigoted because you think only one person, there's only one way for men to go to heaven. Do you believe that? Now Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father. Now you may not think that that's right. But it's not me you're disagreeing with. You're disagreeing with Jesus. You can work that out with him. But you realize if you commit yourself as a follower of Christ, then you should be willing to say, I believe there's only one name given under heaven whereby men must be saved.
Amen.
And you know what that makes you? Wow. You mean God's people, the Jews, they're not going to heaven? What did the Jew of all Jews, the Apostle Paul, say about those who rejected Christ? He took off his shoes and shook the dust. He said to a group of Jewish people who would not believe the message that Jesus Christ was God's Messiah sent to the Jewish people, he said to them, since you reject the message, you judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. And he turned and walked away. Jesus Christ according to our scriptures.
Yeah.
If you're not a person who believes that this Bible has that kind of authority, okay, then at least you're consistent. You're consistent, at least. I'll give you that. That's fine. But if you believe that this, that God directed men by His Spirit and guided them to leave us the record of the testimony of Jesus Christ and the apostles, here's what I would encourage you. I would encourage you to make sure you know what it says and keep your opinions to yourself. Because you will be judged for disagreeing with God. But if you do agree with God and you speak faithfully and we live faithfully according to the message, we admit it's going to create difficulty in this world. We know it is. It is, believe me. I am glad many of you have very nice things to say about me. But believe me, that is not true everywhere. There are a lot of people who do not think well of me at all.
Sorry.
You know, the question for me is, and it's, I read this from the Apostle Paul's letter, and it so ministered to me. Here's what he said. If I were still trying to be pleasing to men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Wow, that's loyalty. That's loyalty. Wow. So that even if being faithful to Him costs me a friendship with you, sorry, my choice is already made. My choice is made. Hence, I can understand why Paul, it almost seems audacious, okay? I admit, this last simple phrase in the book of 1 Corinthians, he ends this, the 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians has chapter 13, the love chapter in the Bible. And the Apostle Paul ends 1 Corinthians with this little phrase. If anyone love not the Lord Jesus, let him be accursed. Doesn't it almost seem audacious? But listen, think about it. Think how wise that was. What had God the Father said when Jesus Christ was coming up out of the water as His baptism? This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Who is any man to not love the one God the Father said He's well pleased with?
Amen.
Think about that. Think about that. Paul simply was so committed to Jesus Christ was God the Father's choice that he said, if anyone disagrees with God the Father's choice, let him be accursed. Wow. That's faith. That's why Paul, that's why we have 13 of his letters in our New Testament. 13 of them. You know what? I had the feeling that in the days to come in our own country, we've had it easy for a lot of, we've enjoyed a lot of blessings. We're celebrating a wonderful nation that God's, I believe God has shed His grace upon us. But you know to whom much is given?
Much will be required.
Much will be required. And I don't think we're going to be immune from the difficulty that's coming in the days to come. In the days to come, I believe there's going to be a little bit more pain and cost to being a faithful believer in Jesus Christ. I just want you to be ready. And when you experience it, remember, blessed are you. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen? All right. Let's just bow our heads.